walk with Jesus, and he promised me. That I've learned
how to depend on Jesus, how to trust in him.
So glad I've learned
how to depend on Jesus.
Let me ask y'all something. Anybody here learn how to put all your trust in him? Can I take a little time and tell you how I learned to do it? I picked up my Bible and I went to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, round about the 5th and the 6th verse, where it told me to trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I had to learn to acknowledge Jesus Christ. And I wonder, can I get a witness in this building when I say, won't God step in and direct your path tonight? Can I get a witness in this building? Anybody here learn how to depend on Jesus? Somebody depending on it. Somebody, you learn how to put all your trust in it tonight.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We'll fix it. He will fix it. Yes, he will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want us just to chant that song that says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Book of Psalm, the 56th number. Certainly we honor our God as we stand on his behalf, and we thank him that he stands with us. To our associate ministers and to all of you, the people of God, who share with us in the house of God, to those who listen by radio, the 56th number of the Book of Psalms. And I want to encourage you to read it not only from the King James Version, but if you have access to some of the more modern versions, the Message Bible, the New Living King James Version of the Bible, I would encourage you in your private time to read this entire psalm from those versions as well. But I will be reading into your hearing from the King James Version, Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And for just a few moments this morning, I want to talk from the subject, that's how I made it. Amen. That's how I made it. Thank you, ushers. Anyone who is attempting to live victoriously for God is going to encounter some opposition along the way. It is naive to believe that because you're well-mannered and well-intentioned, that events are going to unfold in your life without tension, problems, and difficulties. There will be moments of misery. There will be days of distress. There will be times of trouble, and there will be seasons of suffering. No person is isolated against irritation, and none of us are permanently protected from pain. But the good news is that you can make it. Tell your neighbor, you can make it. Amen. Yes, you can make it through. You can make it out. You can make it over by the grace of God. And that's the meaning of this message and the testimony of this text. For the 56th Psalm was composed and sung by David during the course of him pursuing the purpose and plan of God for his life. His pursuit unfolded within the context of Saul's relentless persecution of and desire to kill David. And my brothers and sisters, the historical context of this text emerges out of 1 Samuel chapter 21, where David's flight from Saul's persecution positioned him in the camp and in the hands of his arch enemies, the Philistines. Weary from battle and emotionally drained, his twisted rationale for going there was that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so out of a frantic desire to escape Saul, he took refuge in the Philistine camp, but quickly discovered that the enemies of God's purpose are never the friends of God's people. That their hatred for each other is only surpassed by their disdain for what God is doing in your life. Do I have any witnesses today? Let me put it more plainly. Let me say it like this. There are people who cannot stand each other, but they will join together in their not being able to stand you. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about people who normally wouldn't speak to each other will find common conversation if it means speaking against you. Do I have any witnesses here today? Well, you Bible readers will remember that in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, where Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, who, although historical rivals, they joined together in their opposition against Nehemiah, trying to keep him from rebuilding the wall that had been torn down. You New Testament readers will remember how the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the so-called holy folk, joined forces with the Herodians, the worldly folk, in their opposition to Jesus the Christ. Because the enemy is always the enemy. Tell your neighbor, the enemy is always the enemy. And so David realized that, and having come to his senses in the text, he began to act crazy. And that's paradoxical, because when the Philistines thought he was sane, that's when he had actually lost his mind. But when he came to his senses and started acting crazy, it was because he had regained his sanity. He acted so crazy that the Bible lets us know that the Philistines released him. And I've got to pause right here and tell you that it is one of the mysteries of grace that sometimes the way God releases you from your enemies is to put you in a situation where you got to act a little crazy. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you, amen, are too young to remember, but some of y'all remember that. Y'all remember that song, "Don't Push Me, 'Cause I'm Close to the Edge. I'm Trying Not to Lose." It's like a jungle song. Yeah. David acted insane, and the Bible says they released him. And during his release party, he composed this psalm, this song. It is a song of trust that has a recurring theme. And the theme is this: when I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. You'll find that theme in verses 3, 4, 10, and 11. And my brothers and sisters, we've got to learn that any person that chooses to pursue God's purpose in their life will have to pursue it while facing opposition to it. Is there anybody here today on your way to your destiny? You have had to discover that some folks smiling in your face are not your friends. They are in opposition to you fulfilling God's destiny for your life. And so here David references his opposition, how his words were being warped. Y'all know folk will take something you say and get it all twisted up and have folk hating you for something you didn't intend, amen, because they've warped your words. He references how his enemies were crushing him, how arrogant and high-minded people had risen up against him, how his every move was being scrutinized. You know, there are some folk, amen, I call them stalkers. They're watching everything you do. They are watching everywhere you go. Amen. I put a thing on my Facebook where now only my friends can see my stuff. So if you're not my friend, amen, you don't need to know where I'm going, and you don't need to know what I'm doing, and you don't need to know how good I'm eating. Do I have any? Because there are some folks stalking you. The only reason they're your friend on Facebook is because they want to find something to criticize about you and your walk with God. And so here they are trying to diminish his light and his life, and yet in the midst of this consideration, he recognizes the danger of focusing on these things alone. Tell your neighbor, you got to move on from what folk think about you. Amen. Because get this, if he only focused on the opposition, on who and what was lined up against him, that would breed in him anxiety, uncertainty, and fear. It was that type of morbid focus that caused him to run from Saul into the hands of the Philistines in the first place. Therefore, having learned his lesson, looking over his shoulders, he asserts and affirms for us how he made it through those agonizing moments. And my brothers and sisters, in the midst of situations that are stressful and circumstances that are chaotic, you and I can ill afford to permit ourselves to focus exclusively on those things alone. And so what you have to do is you got to pull up. Tell your neighbor, you got to pull up. Tell that other neighbor, you got to pull out. Tell somebody behind you, you got to pull on. Those things in your history that reminds you of how you made it this far. You see, when trouble arises and difficulty shows up, when trials march across the terrain of your life, when tragedy cuts you off in the lane of progress, it's important to understand that degrees alone cannot deliver you. It's important to understand that accolades won't assist you. It's important to understand that assets alone won't aid you. You need to know God. I said you need to know God. I'm come by to tell somebody you need to know God. Thank God for the degrees behind your name that subdue the level of ignorance you've attained. But baby, you better know God. Thank God you got a big bank account and you're a big baller and a shot caller. But at the end of the day, is there anybody here who can testify that you better know God? I wonder if I have any witnesses here today. Amen. Amen. When the storms of life beat relentlessly against your door, when the bottom drops out, when the unpredictable and unexpected tag team and try to take you out of your confidence, you need to know God. Tap somebody and say, that's how I made it. I know God. And that's good. That's good. Amen. That's half the battle. Amen. But not only do you need to know God, come on, how many of you know God needs to know something about you too? I know God. God knows me. Oh, I give him praise. The neighbors may not know my name. But God does. And God knows my every thought. When you study this text, you discover that God sees each tear that falls. God hears me when I call. So tell somebody, I got 99 problems. But knowing God ain't one of them. I know the man. Is there anybody in here that's happy that you know him? You ought to give him praise. And I'm not just talking about, a mental assent to God. I'm not just talking about knowing God in some theoretical sense. I'm talking about knowing him and trusting him experientially. I know him because he's been there with me. I know him because he's brought me through. I know him because he's brought me out. I'm talking about knowing that even when things don't add up, tell your neighbor, God still can. I'm talking about knowing that when things don't make sense, God knows. I'm talking about being in a position, a posture, and a place in your life where you don't need anyone to know it for you because you know it for yourself. And when you know it for yourself, you don't waste time trying to convince other folks that you know him. Oh my. And so here this psalmist is, David, looking back on his reality, where he had been haunted and hounded from cave to field, day in and day out. David was able to announce, this I know for certain, I made it out, I made it through, and I made it over because I know the Lord. I wish I could get three or four people in here who are not so proud and not so stuck on yourself that you will stand on your feet and let somebody know how you made it because I know the Lord. You ought to give him praise. Do you thank him today? I know the Lord. And so if David were here today, he'd ask Pleasant Hill, how did you make it? I made it, first of all, number one, because of God's position. Listen to verse 9. He says, this I know for certain, God is on my side. You better find out God's position in your life. Amen. That's why, Pastor, don't worry about nothing. I don't worry about nobody. I don't worry about, amen. I don't worry about haters, enemies. I don't worry about friends. I don't worry about nothing. I don't worry about nothing because I know where God is positioned in my life. He is on my side. That's why the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Because as soon as you put your mouth on somebody that God is on their side, you better look for calamity to come. You better look for trouble to show up in your life. I don't have any doubts about where God is positioned in my life, baby. He's on my side. I can stand flat-footed with my shoulders intact, with my head up high, and tell you, God is on my side. You better leave me alone. God is on. Is there anybody else who can testify that God is on your side? I know I'm not all that I ought to be. I know I'm not everything I want to be. Amen. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. But in spite of all that I am, all that I've done, God is on my side. Give him praise in this place today. He knew that God was on his side. And see, that's important
Because in the midst of problems, in the midst of trouble, the devil and your haters will try to convince you that the reason you're going through is because God is against you. You need to know, amen, amen. It's a critical concept that we must catch, because the aim of the adversary, the desire of the devil, is to convince you and I that trouble is an indication that God is angry with you, that he's out to get you, that you've obviously done something wrong. So God has had to flip the script and bring trouble your way. But watch this. As a child of God, you've got to understand that God's basic orientation toward you is positive and not negative. It's triumph and not trauma. It's uplift and not downfall. In fact, one of the first verses that many of us learn as children, amen, testifies to this fact. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so whenever the devil tries to whisper in your ear that the reason you're sick, or the reason you're having a problem, or the reason you're having trouble in your life is because God is angry with you, let your imagination take you back to an old rugged cross. Let your imagination take you back to John 3:16. Let your imagination take you back to a hill called Calvary, where Jesus hung, bled, and died for you and for me. Is there anybody you've got doubt about whether or not he loves you? If you got doubts about whether or not he loves you, take your mind back to a cross called Calvary. Amen. Where he died for your sins. He died for your evil. He died for your iniquity. Tell your neighbor, thank God he died for me. And so number one, I made it because of God's position. He's on my side. But then number two, amen, the psalmist would let us know that the second reason he made it is because of God's participation. It's important, my brothers and sisters, as people of faith, to affirm the permanence, the purpose, and the particularity of God. And here in Psalm 56, David speaks of God's permanence by the name he chooses for God. He calls him, in the Hebrew, Elohim or Yahweh. And that translates Almighty God. As a matter of fact, that has a whole lot to do with our covenant relationship with God. But then if you really want to get this, you got to go down a little further and see the name that he uses for his enemies. He uses the Hebrew word Enosh. In the Greek, it's Adam, the word that we get Adam from. And the word literally means weak, frail, fragile. And so what the psalmist is saying, my enemies are lined up against me, but I ain't gonna focus on them so much, amen, because I've got the Almighty God on my side. Now, I'm looking at God. He's almighty. I'm looking at my enemies. They are fragile. They are frail. They're going to die. I'm looking at God. He is the creator. I'm looking at my enemies. They are the creation. I'm looking at God. He is eternal. I'm looking at my enemies. They are temporary. And all of that tells me is that instead of worrying about my enemies, I just need to put my trust in an almighty God. Is there anybody here who knows that while your enemies are plotting against you, God was before they got here to plot? That while your enemies are trying to destroy you, God ain't sleeping, he ain't slumbering. While your enemies are trying to plan your future falling, amen, God is going to outlive them. He's going to outlast them. And if you know he's on your side, what are you worried about? Get on your feet and thank him that he is with me, that he never leaves me, that he will not forsake me. God is on my side. That's how I made it. I made it because of God's position. That's how I made it. I made it because of God's participation. Can I go a little deeper into how closely he participates in our existence? David says in verse 8, he says, God, you have kept track of my every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. He says, every tear, look at the detail, every tear has been entered into your ledger. That's the way some of the new versions read. Every ache, and if you're over 40, you should shout it right there, because a whole lot of them aches, you don't even know what you did to get them. They just show up, don't they? Amen. But David says that God is such an intimate participant in my life that he has kept in his ledger every time I had to cry. He's kept it in his ledger. Every time I tossed and turned at night because folk were lying on me and talking about me, God has kept it in his ledger. Do I have a witness today? It's as if God has a ledger and he's keeping track of everything concerning you. It's that level of participation. God is particular about me. It's personal. God has kept track of my tossing and turning, kept track of my tears and my aches. His participation in my life is particular, and it is personal. Some of you wasting all your time to get to know some Negro. And when you finally get to know him, you're going to figure out ain't nothing to him anyway. Forsaking a relationship with the holy, righteous, and almighty God, trying to get to know somebody because of the car they driving, because of a Coke bottle figure, not realizing all that's going to rust, it's going to decay, it's going to die. Baby, I want to know the Lord. I hope that if you're here today and you don't know him and the power of his might, that before you leave this church today, you will say, I want to know God. That's how I made it. I made it because of God's position. That's how I made it. I made it because of God's participation. But then finally, I made it. The psalmist lets us know that he made it because of God's proclamation. David speaks here about praising God's word. Now watch it. He's not just talking about the utterance of God's word, but he's really talking about the reality of what God has spoken. God spoke. Oh, thank you, God. God spoke David's future. And when God spoke David's future, it had material reality, even though David couldn't see it yet. And so David could say, I made it because I made it because God is positioned in my life. I made it because God is participating in my life. But also I made it because of what the Lord has proclaimed about my life. Now you got to look at this, because you got to understand that in the midst of what's going on here, David's enemies are trying to kill him. David's enemies are surrounding him, and they have him running from one place to another. And yet, in spite of all of that, David makes it. And the reason he makes it is because of what God proclaims about his future. Now, he didn't see it yet. He didn't have it yet. He couldn't touch it yet. But because God said it, because God spoke it, he knew it was going to come to pass. In the science world, they will tell you that light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast light travels. And so when you look into the midnight sky and you see the stars in the sky, there are many instances that you're looking at a star because the stars are trillions of miles away. And because it takes so long for the light that is emanating from the star to get